Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, you've logged into Smoke News Radio, episode 129, with your dyslexic host, Jason Brodsky, on the microphone. Let's go tonight. We found some things from Leafly.com. Four mental health tips for weed lovers, written by Janessa Bailey. May is a mental health awareness month and a powerful time to reflect on your mental and emotional wellness. For people who love weed, there are a variety of ways we can honor ourselves and check in on our mental health this month and every month moving forward. With so much going on in the world around us, it is important that we take extra time to work through the feelings, try new ways to feel better, or identify the root cause of patterns we just don't seem to escape. This could include evaluating our relationship with cannabis, or even having deep conversations with loved ones. But here's a little spoiler. Sometimes the only answer you will find is that you're a human being with complex hormones, chemicals, and emotions. Everyone copes with life in a variety of different ways, and your job is to find the ways that are healthy and manageable for your unique life. Here are four ways folks living with cannabis lifestyle can check in on their mental health right now. The first, exchange social media time for self-exploration. Social media can send our brains and our emotions spiraling at the refresh of a timeline. Not to mention, social media isn't always the most cannabis-friendly place. Assess how much time you're spending on social media and how it makes you feel, and don't be afraid to take a break. There are many hypotheses about what all our time on the internet is doing to our brains. And we must remember that we don't live in the matrix yet. Reducing your time on social media is a good way to make time to pay attention to your own thoughts and feelings, an activity that is a lot easier when you don't have a constant stream of opinions and headlines coming at you. Set limits on your phone that remind you to take a break after 10 minutes of scrolling, or go cold turkey and delete the apps completely. And no cheating by logging in on your desktop. Use the extra time to reflect, light a joint, and meditate, and read a couple of pages of a new book. And the second, seek sunlight. Now, this is one I really hope everyone can do. Find a ray of sun and exist in it for at least 20 minutes. You can journal on a park bench, stare aimlessly out a window, take a spin around the block and smoke one, or just lay on the carpet and take a cat nap. What matters is that you get yourself into the light of that giant, gaseous, burning star. As many of us know, sunlight helps our body make vitamin D, and the lack of vitamin D can lead to feelings of depression. It may seem basic, but our exposure to sunshine can have a major impact on our mood and over time, our mental health. Studies show that people with more melanin have a harder time making a sufficient amount of vitamin D, which means that we may have to speak to our doctors about other ways besides the sun to get vitamin D into our systems, like a daily supplement. No matter how much melanin you have, don't forget the sunscreen. And third, live in your truth. Life is a crazy every single day. It comes with highs and lows, plus everything in between. Take time to recognize everything that you've been through and the ways it has shaped you into the person you are today. Make decisions based on what's best for you, and don't let anyone shame you for being different. Fighting against who you truly are will tank your mental health. You deserve to live in your truth. If you need a mental health day from work and can do so, take it. If you need to get more firm boundaries to achieve your goals, do it. If you need to tell your family that you like to smoke weed to help manage stress, today is the day. Give yourself permission to prioritize your well-being and don't feel guilty about having a sense of self-preservation, even if it feels a little foreign to you. And fourth, explore therapy. Don't be afraid to get real. The cannabis community is full of many different types of people. There are people bursting with passion, determination, energy, and the resources they need to be okay. And it's also full of people who have experienced trauma and deserve the attention of a mental health professional to talk about it. Sweet stoner family, please know this. Sometimes weed is not enough to see us to the other side of life's greatest challenges. The plant cannot go back in time and rewire our brains or erase our trauma. Weed is an incredible tool and true companion when pharmaceutical medication is not accessible, and sometimes even in addition to pharmaceuticals. But also, prescription meds are necessary, and there's no shame in that. Multiple things can exist at the same time. A side note, do consult your physician. The best cannabis strains, you may find a new kind of peace in smoking strains for your unique issues. Talking with a mental health professional and getting on a little medication. It is a privilege to have money and time to invest in yourself this way. Side note, resources like Talkspace, BetterHelp, or HERS are there to help you understand what types of mental health assistance are available to you. BetterHelp can help provide financial aid options for people who need help with the price of their mental health care. And consuming cannabis can be an important part of our self-care, but as humans, sometimes we need more than one thing to truly improve our mental health. These tips are just a straight point. The rest of your mental health journey awaits as soon as you're ready to begin. All right, and the fifth one they forgot to mention is have love. You know, you got to have love and everything. Throw a little love in your heart. Okay, from The Green Trimpreneur, written by Anatomide, read to you by Jason Brodsky on Smoke News Radio. Why does weed make you happy? Meet Anandamide, the cannabis bliss molecule. Anandamide, popularly known as the cannabis bliss molecule, aka AEA, holds the mystery of the joy cannabis gives its users. Cannabinoids are an exciting group of compounds. Over the years, cannabis-inclined researchers, or scientists, have made several discoveries concerning cannabis plants. Their cannabinoid and terpene profiles, as well as their unique relationship with the human endocannabinoid system. It might interest you that the human body produces a natural class of cannabinoids, one of which is the amandanides. The general overview of anandamide. Anandamide is a primary endogenous cannabinoid produced in the human body. This class of cannabinoids is not as famous as their plant-derived counterparts, yet they react significantly well with one another. The name anandamide literally means the bliss molecule, so many people assume that this compound is informally called the bliss compound, where it's just the literal meaning of the name. Anand means bliss or delight, while amide is used to describe the molecule's chemical formula. Anandamide has unique traits and activities that help the endocannabinoid system with a beneficial relationship with plant-derived cannabis plants. It wasn't discovered until the early 1900s, around the exact time THC, CBD, and other phytocannabinoids were discovered. Subsequently, science journals suggested that phytocannabinoids could bind to natural receptors in the human body to showcase their impacts. Between 1990 and 95, Dr. Rafael Mikolam and his research team reportedly successfully isolating anandamide from the human brain. As mentioned earlier, anandamide is naturally produced in the human body in low quantities. The production process is distributed through different molecular pathways using multiple enzymes. Anandamide has a relatively short half-life that starts with N-arachidonyl phosphatidylethanolamine. I get another run at that one. With N-arachidonyl phosphatidylethanolamine, that is NAPE, the membrane precursor. When anandamide is released into the body, it dissipates quickly. The importance and function of anandamide in the endocannabinoid system primarily comprises of CB1 and CB2 receptors. Both receptors interact with other factors that ensure the body's homeostatic state is maintained. The research team, consisting of Lemire Hignas, William Devane, and Melacham, observed the bliss molecule behaves like THC. Both compounds have the bliss molecule reaction with cannabinoid receptors. Anandamide and THC are partial agonists of CB1 and CB2. They are capable of inducing effects on the central nervous system and the immune system. However, THC has a stronger, more innate relationship with the CB1 receptor. For more extended period, THC catalyzes multiple chemical effects. In contrast, anandamide is fragile, which is another reason it cannot induce a significant psychoactive effect. It is instead responsible for inducing feelings of pleasure, rewards, inspiration, or motivation. Its location as the brain is mainly in the areas that are relevant to memory. Relevant to memory, feeding, learning, and movement. Scientists say that anandamide allows humans to make or break natural connections that foster memory and learning. The primary function of anandamide is homeostasis. The brain regularly releases it to keep the endocannabinoid system in proper condition. Cannabis and anandamide have a unique multifaceted relationship. Each cannabinoid in the cannabis plant has a different effect on the bliss molecule. Scientists would have preferred more information on the THC and CBD on the AEA molecule. THC and anandamide have similar profiles. They are both partial agonists of the CB1 receptor, and they have relatable chemical structures. When the body breaks down THC, it proceeds to hijack the CB1 receptors, causing a more profound, dramatic response, which manifests as psychoactivity. THC gradually influences the performance of the orbitofrontal cortex, the hippocampus, the basal ganglia, and the cerebellum. The user can sometimes experience a lack of coordination and short-term memory. THC and AEA stimulate the release of dopamine, which causes the user to feel pleasure. Dopamine is also involved in other actions like sex, feeding, and rewards. The brain chemical dopamine is released when neurons transmit electrical signals to each other. The nature of the signal sent determines what choices you make in your day-to-day activities. Without dopamine, you would be you would be unable to consciously or subconsciously get motivated, learn, switch moods, or retain a healthy attention span. Note that the short-term irregular use of THC directly influences the brain's reward system for as long as the compound remains active. Periodical use of THC could relatively lower the amount of dopamine produced, causing reduced motivation and other negative emotions. The anandamide molecule are directly influenced by CBD and anandamide and AEA. CBD, the second prominent plant-derived cannabinoid, it reacts with the FAAH enzyme. That's the chemical involved in the breakdown of AEA. CBD is the main reason why anandamide has a short half-life, because it counters the effects of the brain chemical as it holds off the breakdown of the FAAH enzyme. Increasing the amount of anandamide in the body is not only achievable by smoking and using THC-based products, there are various other ways you can augment the bliss molecule, either by consuming certain foods, performing some activities, or using other minor cannabinoid products. The main thing is to consume substances that inhibit FAAH or contain substantial amounts of anandamide. This way, the body automatically has an elevated AEA level. Some of the substances you can consume include CBD extract, CBD oil, and black truffle, chocolate, black or long pepper, and camphorol. Exercises and activities like cuddling or yoga, biking, and long distance running help increase anandamide levels. It is advisable to stick to endurance activities. In the long run, responsible cannabis use would help nurture a more open perspective on life. Scientific knowledge of anandamide and its relationship with cannabinoids has come a long way since the first cannabinoid was discovered. There's still a myriad of information to uncover about how cannabis plants and cannabinoids could be maximized to help us feel happier in the long term. Until then, the author recommends you continue using THC-based products in moderation. Always remember that with more cannabinoids, endurance-based activities or exercises, as well as a well-balanced meal, you stand to gain more bliss or pleasure as your AEA levels are boosted. All right. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, who, gets your exercise and eat good food and you get more happy. Love it. Love it. Okay. We got from the OCRegister.com. California can start to fix legal cannabis market by ditching the cultivation tax. It's written by OCRegister.com. It's long been obvious that California's high taxes were limiting the legal cannabis industry's ability to compete with less expensive products on illicit markets. But now, as a growing number of cannabis farmers and licensed marijuana businesses warn that big parts of the state's legal marijuana industry could collapse, it's clear that California legislators need to remove some of the taxes and regulatory obstacles they've put in place. For starters, California should eliminate its cannabis cultivation tax. No other agricultural good faces a cultivation tax similar to the one imposed on marijuana. Eliminating the cultivation tax would allow farmers and licensed cannabis retailers to lower prices, making the legal marijuana market more competitive with illicit markets, since the state collects several other marijuana taxes, including general sales taxes on cannabis sales. California could eliminate the cultivation tax and still bring in 123% more in total monthly marijuana tax revenue by 2024 than it currently does, according to my new Reason Foundation study. Eliminating the tax would lower prices and increase the sales of legal cannabis products, which would then increase the government's general sales tax revenue and more than replace the losses from the eliminated cultivation tax. Based on its population and adult usage rates in other states with legal marijuana, California's legal cannabis market is just one-third of the size that would be expected. Even after legalization, nearly two-thirds of marijuana sales in the state are still taking place on the illicit market, where products aren't taxed, thus are far cheaper. California's state and local taxes on legal cannabis can be as high as $90 per ounce or $1,441 per pound. Taxes, dramatically higher than other states. For example, taxes on local marijuana average $340 per pound in Oregon, $526 a pound in Colorado. Those lower taxes would make legal cannabis products more competitive with black market products in those states. As a result, Oregonians spend 378% more per capita on legal cannabis, and Coloradans spend 335% more per capita on cannabis than Californians spend per capita. What once was expected to be a thriving legal cannabis market now has small businesses wondering how they can survive in this state. Amy O'Gorkin Jenkins, legislative advocate of California Cannabis Industry Association, quotes, we are experiencing firsthand a serious price compression in the California supply chain, in part as a result of the illegal market, high taxes and fees, and a patchwork of inconsistent local taxes driving legal operators to the brink of a financial cliff. We cannot allow the largest cannabis market in the world to fail. Marijuana industry experts are sounding these alarms about total market failure because California's taxes and regulations have more and more cannabis farms and small businesses considering giving up on California's licensed cannabis market. Sam Rodriguez, policy director of Good Farms, Great Neighbors Collective of Santa Barbara County Cannabis Businesses, quotes, "Cannabis farms throughout the state are experiencing the biggest challenges of their time. Many farmers are considered going fallow this year. For example, Busy Bee Organics, one of the first woman-owned, sun-grown farmers in Santa Barbara County, has already declared she's not planting this year. Eliminating the cannabis cultivation tax would help growers, retailers, and consumers. Reducing the retail excise tax would help further help the legal cannabis market. And state lawmakers should also look at the revenue-sharing opportunities of other incentives that might encourage California's local governments to stop banning the sale of legal cannabis products in their jurisdictions. Most local governments still inhibit the sale of marijuana, so an understated problem is just how few legal cannabis storefronts there are in California. Oregon has one legal cannabis retailer for every 6,145 residents, while Colorado has one legal retailer for every 13,000 residents, while California has just one marijuana retailer for every 29,000 residents. California's voters overwhelmingly approve the legalization of cannabis, eliminating the cultivation tax and allowing more cannabis businesses to open would start to get cannabis closer to the legal, safe, licensed cannabis market that voters envisioned. Written by Jeff Lawrence and read to you by Jason Brodsky on Smoke News Radio. Fantastic. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have from Reason.com, a new report explains how California screwed up marijuana legalization. Heavy regulation, high taxes, and local bans combined to cripple the legal cannabis industry, which accounts for just a third of the state's pot market. 6 years after California legalized recreational marijuana, the black market still accounts for roughly two-thirds of the state's cannabis sales. Since legalization was supposed to eliminate the black market, the embarrassing situation represents a stark failure to fulfill the promise of Prop 64. the 2016 ballot initiative that allowed recreational consumers to buy marijuana from state licensed retailers. Now, regulatory costs, the high taxes, and local bans on retailers are the main factors impeding the transition to a legal market, according to a new report from Reason Foundation, the organization that publishes this website. The report written by, hold on a second. Okay, all right. Jeff Lawrence, the author of the previous article, the foundation's managing director of drug policy, focuses on the letter two issues, then recommends tax relief, which Lawrence shows would be compatible with continued growth in state marijuana revenue and incentives aimed at encouraging local governments to allow retail sales. That one's cool. He just double authored it on me. Okay, next from vice.com. We found the world's worst weed. Paraguay. It really is not an article. That's really horrible weed. Okay, here. This is from Forbes.com. Would you smoke nuclear weed? You might already. Why irradiated cannabis is common and safe? Read to you by Jason Broski on Smoke News Radio. Before he sells it, Suhiko Ono, the founder and CEO of EOS Farms, a legal cannabis cultivation brand in Massachusetts, bombards his cannabis with radiation. If you purchase legal cannabis in the United States, there's a good chance you bought what some scandalized critics dismiss as nuclear weed. They would never knowingly touch, too. If you're in Canada, there's a near 100% chance your weed is irradiated. And they tell us scientifically that's not a bad thing. Though cannabis dispensaries and product manufacturers don't advertise it, treating cannabis with radiation to remove enough bacteria and mold for the finished product to pass state testing requirements, a common and EPA-approved technique in food production, that supermarket apple you're eating was quite likely zapped with radiation. Broadly defined in the context of cannabis and food production, irradiation is the use of ionizing radiation to eliminate contaminants like bacteria and mold. According to the executive vice president of sales at Rad Source Technologies, George Terry, one of the top suppliers of irradiating devices for the U.S. cannabis industry and the maker of the irradiation devices at EOS Farm, he has clients like Ono in 23 states. For an immunocompromised patient, like a cancer survivor, irradiating cannabis could be the difference between a safe smoke and a life-threatening fungal infection, Terry quotes, when shopping for weed, Terry and some of his acquaintances actually request irradiated cannabis. That might be a hard task to fulfill, as neither dispensaries nor product manufacturers are required to disclose their remediation methods, just that their product passed tests in the lab. EOS Farms and many of the Ono's competitors irradiate their cannabis because Massachusetts has testing regulations even stricter than other states. Massachusetts limits the total amount of bacteria and other life forms in cannabis, even beneficial bacteria. That's in contrast to other states like California that restrict or outlaw specified harmful bacteria and molds like E. coli and asparagus. Other common remediation methods in Massachusetts include using ozone and hydrogen peroxide. So the Ono had went with the radiation because it was the only one with no residual effect, he said during a recent interview, noting that RadSource's method of using photons to kill off powdery mildew and other contaminant techniques, also used in medical and pharmaceutical settings, to ensure that blood can be safely infused and medical devices are sterilized, this was the only one that reliably didn't affect the cannabis itself, leaving the terpenes and cannabinoids intact. He quotes, "There are literally no residual effects. Out of all the remediation techniques used in the industry, this is the only one that doesn't leave any residual effects." Continue quoting, "Anyone who can afford it is going with radiation," noting that he believes that at least 80% of other Massachusetts cannabis companies are using some post-cultivation remediation method. And Ono's cannabis is clean, super clean. Usually that's a boasting point, but since radiation, another way of saying energy in the broadest sense, is poorly understood among members of the public and often conflated with the nastiest and scariest examples like Hiroshima to Chernobyl, Fukushima, rather to clean and sterile pharmaceutical drugs, Ozo recognizes that being open about irradiating cannabis is a liability. Quoting, "There's definitely a fear when you say specific words. People react without really digging into it." Side note, Brodsky episode 347 tomorrow night. That's absolutely true with irradiated weed. In an informal review of cannabis cultivars, distributors, and consumers in several states, none had heard of irradiated cannabis, and all of them said, sometimes in the most colorful language, that if given the choice or presented with the knowledge, they would pitch irradiated cannabis directly into the bin. That's also how this story began, after an employee of Ono's tasked with running the radiation machine shared an anonymous message lamenting the fact that they were, in their view, nuking pot and they had never heard of such an ungodly act that, upon further review, is both commonplace and accepted. This is partially by fiat, and Ono wrote in a Medium post last year, Massachusetts strictly safety standards, almost as strict as Canada, mean that some remediation method is necessary to pass. It also means that classic regenerative farming methods that rely heavily on beneficial bacteria and some bacteria that Massachusetts testing regulations toss in the same bucket as the E. coli that triggers food poisoning can't work without remediation. Massachusetts, going forward, should relax its rules to allow for beneficial microbes, he quotes, saying at least draw a distinction between benign and harmful microbes. This is crucial for good farming practices in general. Meanwhile, irradiated weed has a lead in the markets. It's at best uncertain whether cannabis consumers will even prefer sun-grown, regeneratively farmed cannabis over dense, dank, and energy nutrient dense hydroponic indoor and more intensive the production method and more use there is for irradiation and other remediation methods. If Massachusetts won't accommodate beneficial microbes in this way, the state could at least help with transparency. Perhaps cannabis cultivars with their remediation, their final product with radiation or another method, should be honest brokers and report both that cannabis was remediated and the method used or be made to do so by law. Quoting, it's very much in favor of consumer education and transparency, Ono quotes. I think it should be clear that it's remediated and what methodology is being used. Until then, Ono is aware that what a liability being honest about irradiation could be, irrational as it is, quoting, it's like saying, I'm afraid of energy, and as a result, I don't like energy. But with the small profit margins and stiff competition among the strict rules, cannabis, quote, is fairly cutthroat. He adds, it's probably a matter of time before a competitor tries to undercut EOS Farms by sharing this very story, or even if they do something very similar, something of which most of their customers weren't even aware of before Ono said something. Fantastic. You guys, thank you for listening. This is a Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Just jump through some of these quick ones right here. Armored car company settles suit over 1 million pot sale seizures from the islandpacket.com out in San Bernardino, California. A Pennsylvania armored car company has settled its lawsuit that accused the San Bernardino County Sheriff of illegally seizing over $1 million in cash it was transporting from medical marijuana businesses. The settlement had no financial compensation, announced Friday, allows Epureal Logistics to resume services after two transports of money were stopped and cash was seized in November and December. the Sun of San Bernardino reported, deputies said in a search warrant that there was a probable cause a felony had been committed when the vehicle was stopped on November and $700,000 was seized. Although California is one of 37 states that allow medical use of marijuana and one of 18 that legalized its recreational use, the drug remains illegal under federal law. Because big banks and credit card companies have shunned the industry, it largely operates on a cash basis. As a result, some businesses have turned to armored cars to transport large quantities of cash. The statement quotes, both sides also acknowledge that Efrio is part of the solution to help with financial transparency and that San Bernardino deputies are not highway robbers as previously reported in the media. The company previously reached an agreement in which participating federal law enforcement agencies, including the FBI and the DEA, agreed to return the money. Epiriel CEO Deandre Gorman said the company sued in federal court because its state-licensed cannabis customers and financial institution clients operate legally. O'Gorman quotes, now that the funds have been returned and after meeting with the sheriff, we are confident that we can continue serving state legal businesses without future disruptions. Under federal civil forfeiture laws, if law enforcement has been entitled to seize the money as proceeds of a crime, San Bernardino County would have been able to keep 80% of the cash and the federal government would get the rest. All right, you guys listening to California Cannabis California Cannabis Hemp Initiative 2016 Smoke News Radio with your host Jason Brodsky. Okay, from WBUR.org, New Hampshire Senate snuffs latest cannabis legalization effort. A proposal to legalize recreational cannabis in New Hampshire failed in the state Senate on Thursday as opponents citing concerns over public safety and the possible impact of legislation on minors. Under House Bill 629, adults 21 and older would have been permitted to possess up to 3/4 of an ounce of cannabis, as well as cannabis-infused edibles and tinctures. There was no mechanism in the bill establishing retail sale of cannabis, but adults would have been permitted to grow up to 6 adult plants. While the bill had broad support in the New Hampshire House, where it passed 241-113 earlier this year, it ran into familiar opposition in the Senate, which has never passed a cannabis legislation bill. Side note, obviously. Senator Bob Gida, a Republican from Warren, told colleagues during an hour-long debate, quote, this is not a harmless substance. legalizing this does no good for any segment of our population. Gita and other opponents cautioned that recreational cannabis legalization could lead to higher rates of use by minors, as well as more impaired drivers on the road. Supporters of recreational marijuana noted that there is a broad public support for legalization of the state, and that the bill was an important step towards racial equity, pointing to studies showing that African American people are more likely to be arrested for marijuana use, despite both Anglo-Saxon and African American people using the drug at similar rates. Senator Becky Whitley from Kankakee spoke to colleagues, quoting, "New Hampshire has become an island in New England with our overly burdensome regulations of cannabis that are out of sync with the scientific, health, and social data," she says. "And most importantly, with what New Hampshire voters want." The bill in the Senate failed on a 15-9 vote with three Democrats, Senator Lou DeAndre and Don Soucy and Kevin Kavanaugh, all from Manchester, joining all but two to kill the measure. Okay, was this legislation? Cool, fantastic. Smoke News Radio, votes and party affiliations. Party affiliations I don't talk about. And, you know, people need to be less racist. I try to be less racist. I'm like, I'm not going to repeat racist words on the radio. So, everybody, you're Anglo-Saxon, African-American, Islander, whatever. You're not a color. Nobody is a color. That's gross. Can't be a color. Sick. So, thank you for listening. Smoke News Radio. Remember, babies' lives matter. So, placentas are limited by smoking herb during before childbirth. So know that and be careful out there. Be safe, everybody. Love you very much. Thank you for listening. Smoke News Radio. And we got Jack Johnson here with some news on an alternative universe.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby. That it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight. On the news tonight, the unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die?
At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.